Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
822, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. Hey, J.P., how are you?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm looking at a story here by James Finn from the NOLA.com, and they're quoting a lady here, Nellie Katzen, director of the Committee for a Better New Orleans, saying that the fact you have three different stories from the finance director to the city council CAO is wild. It is wild, and we could spend some time on who knew what when. Let's talk about what happens from here. And there's also a story at NOLA.com about New Orleans facing budget problems before and some of the things that have been done. Who is the onus on now to take care of this? What procedurally, what happens from here?
Well, procedurally, when you're talking about cuts to departments, that is done through the administration. When you're talking about finding different revenue streams or reallocating funds inside of the budget, depending on which funds, it's the council. Right now, primarily, the mayor-elect, myself, and council budget chairman Joe DeRusso will be meeting on the 5th with state partners to try to see if we can reach agreement on this $125 million gap loan to get us through the end of the year. But next year's budget, Tommy, is going to be much, much skinnier and much more, it's going to be borderline austerity, just to get us back into a position where our budget is solvent. So, I mean, primarily the council's job right now is finding the revenue to get us through the end of the year and shaping the budget for next year, because this next budget is for the next mayor and the next council. And I would say the current mayor is going to have very little say on what this next budget looks like, because the last couple of budgets have been a mess.
All right, so we got X amount of time left until the end of the fiscal year. 2 months, right?
Yep. Well, a little more than 2 months, but yes.
A little more than 2 months. Okay. So,
because remember that technically the end of this budget is going to go through the first 2 weeks of the next mayor's administration. So it's technically the budget starts on January 1st. We're trying to budget it so that the next mayor actually has time to come in office. So it's a little, yeah.
All right. So here's the deal, I guess. Where's the low-hanging fruit? And in terms of austerity, how austere is it going to be? And does this start with the mayor? Does it start with somebody in her office? Does it start with the CAO? Does it start with who? Tell me who it starts with.
Well,
and
CAO Threat has already begun the process in that he's frozen all hiring. He's frozen all overtime. I know there's some conflict with the chief on overtime, but the reality is that right now in the bank, we have roughly $25 million in cash. Mm-hmm. That is about 2 weeks of payroll. If and when the mayor comes and asks the council, which is procedurally what has to happen, to tap the rainy day fund, that's another, the rainy day fund plus fund balance is another $46, $48 million. That's another month of payroll. At that point, what we're looking to is to go and find out what contractors can be pushed till the beginning of next year, which revenue potentialities out there have not been tapped. We're looking at parking tickets. We're looking at funds that are due to the city that have not been recaptured. There's a $35 million fine and fines that Uber is supposed to have paid 4 years ago that the Cantrell administration has never pushed to get paid. There's a whole bunch of different piles of money, potential piles of money that we're pulling out. There's some money that we're trying to get clawed back from Sewage and Water Board that's owed for some loans the city covered for Sewage and Water Board. I mean, Tommy, this is basically in a household. How do we actually know? Let's say it's more like a business. Where do we go to receivables that are ripe or overripe to collect some money to get us into the new administration? Because we realize that when the new budget kicks in, a lot of the money crunch as far as like immediate, like tomorrow paying the bills, a lot of that will be resolved when the new budget kicks in. But when you look at the fall off of federal funds, because remember, federal funds have dried up from ARPA or anything ARPA related.
Right.
So next year's budget is inherently going to be smaller because the mayor has based all of her budgets off federal money that's no longer there.
And that was the question.
The budget's going to contract.
Go ahead. That was the question I was going to ask you. Without another, and I don't mean this flippantly at all, but without another Katrina or BP oil spill or COVID, the city's going to be looking at a different budget stature, right? A budget, different budget structure.
The budget structure is at this point is very unruly. When I came in 2022, I kind of cautioned on the whole Jindal math of building budgets around one-time sorts of revenue that aren't there. Mm-hmm. The thing to remember is that the Landrieu budget when he left office was under $700 million, and the current Cantrell budget is with federal funding was close to $900 million. There's no reason why we can't have budgets that get the job done at a much lower level. I mean, the current mayor grew unclassified civil service positions with variable salaries by almost 300%.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of
low-hanging fruit right there.
That's low-hanging fruit to build next year's budget.
Right.
That's not low-hanging fruit to solve this year's budget, but it's low-hanging fruit to fix next year's budget.
Unless you could furlough those employees, or can you?
Furloughing
that would be the mayor that would do that. The mayor, right?
The mayor would do that, but the challenge is this, Tommy. Furloughing every city employee in the city of New Orleans for one day is $1 million. When you're looking at the size and scope of the challenges, they eclipse that. Plus, Tommy, the time to furlough employees is back in April when the council was talking to Gilbert Montagno, February and April, about what is the plan to deal with the budget deficit. You want to space furloughs out. You want to do a furlough one day per pay period. It's one day per 2 weeks. You can't furlough every employee in city government till the end of the year. That would be absolute chaos. And I mean, if you're going to try and use furloughs to get out of it, furloughs are really, at this point, this late in the budget, furloughs aren't even a viable option at this point. They don't generate enough revenue.
Let me jump in real quick with 45 seconds left, and you can have a little bit more if you need it. What is the 26 budget going to look like?
It's going to be a lot more efficient. It's going to have a complete restructuring of how we fund different governmental programs. And it's going to require a lot of input from the public on what programs are absolutely essential that we need to keep. I mean, as we dig into the structure of this government and realize that charter amendment I have is going to deal with that, there's a lot of stuff in this budget that shouldn't be there. And the next budget's going to be very, very slim.
Tell me about the charter amendment real quick.
The charter amendment says that when the council and mayor pass a budget, you can only spend money that's in the budget. That would have prevented the overtime explosion because overtime was never budgeted by the mayor.
And you
got to budget overtime. You can't just do it inside.
And real quick, the council didn't notice that. You didn't have the detail to notice $57,000.
Well, the line item was never in the budget, and the mayor never came to the council to ask to spend money on overtime. They just spent it on the side.
Just wanted to clear that up. Thank you, 830. Thank you, J.P. Morrell. We'll talk to you again soon. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. All right, we are back at 8:45, quarter till 9, and we know about the government shutdown. Madeline Karst-Batson joins us, Research and Policy Director for the Louisiana Policy Institute of Children, to talk about, is it having an impact, or what kind of impact could it have? Good morning, Madeline. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Is the government shutdown having an impact on early childhood education yet, or child care?
Yes, particularly with the Head Start program, which is a federally funded program for early childhood education. And in Louisiana, it's impacting, over 1,300 children, actually, as of November 1st.
And what does that mean for the kids? What does it mean for the working parents?
Yeah, so on November 1st, Head Start grantees across the nation, and including two distinct grantees in our state, did not receive their funding. Those grantees are doing all they can to use their reserve funding to cover the cost while they wait for the federal government to open back up. But should they run out of those reserve funds, they will have to close. And that means that over 1,300, actually close to 1,300.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
150 children will not have access to childcare. Literally one day they could have it and the next day they won't, which means their parents will have to make a really tough choice about staying at home to care for them or putting them in a lower quality setting so that they can keep going to work.
Tell me about the facilities themselves and what is the typical facility, and what I'm getting at, Madeline, is what kind of reserves do they have? Because I would imagine a lot of these people, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense at all, a lot of these facilities, I should say, perhaps don't have really deep pockets.
Not always. So you have grantees who are sometimes nonprofits who do fundraisers throughout the year. So the ability of these reserve funds might last a month. The hope is that it would last a month, but it certainly those funds likely won't last longer than a month. So it is a dire situation in a way.
Will they get reimbursed if they do front this money and the government reopens?
That's the hope.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Madeline.
No, that's the hope.
Okay. I'm here every day. I want to hear you. Tell me about the services that how important early childhood education is. And first of all, we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about disruptions.
Sure. So early childhood education is really critical, not only for our parents to go to work and, you know, keep our economy going, but it's important for children's development. Brains are developing at the fastest rate of a child's lifetime between the ages of birth and five. And so when kids have access to high quality settings like Head Start, and with Head Start specifically, there are other wraparound resources that children and families receive by being enrolled. So it's not just care and education. It is health screenings, meals for children. It's developmental support for children who might have developmental delays or disabilities. There's also, you know, learning programs for parents to know how to be the best that they can be for their children. So really, early child education really touches everyone.
And it goes to like being able to read at third grade. I have a teacher in the family, and I know sometimes they'll tell me that they get kids in third and fourth grade that just can't read at all. And I just, that boggles my imagination to think that you would charge somebody with trying to teach a child in third grade or fourth grade that can't read. And secondly, how behind the curve they are when it comes to the rest of their life by not being able to read by third grade.
Absolutely. Children research shows this hand over foot that children who are in high quality early learning settings are more likely to be ready in kindergarten and thus be ready to be set up for success in third grade and even higher achievement in high school and into adulthood as well. So there is a lifelong implications on access to high quality early education.
Does this impact the things that the kids that are in these early childhood programs have to eat as well?
Yes. Children who are in, you know, Head Start or other early learning programs are fed meals and snacks throughout the day. And when children then don't have access to that, that could food insecurity could be a real concern for families as a part of the system.
Let me take a break, Madeline. When we come back, I want to talk about the average person that takes advantage of this, because I think sometimes, you know, there's a certain segment of the population that thinks, oh, here we go, another government giveaway. That's my impersonation of the general population that thinks, here we go, another government giveaway, when in fact it's the best money that you can spend and the best investment that you can make in the future of society and the kids. We'll talk about that when we come back. Madeline Karst-Batson, our guest, research and policy director for the Louisiana Policy Institute of Children. 851 traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:57 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Madeline Karst-Batson, Research Policy Director for Louisiana Policy Institute of Children as of November 1st. Tell me, Madeline, what went away?
Seats for 1,348 children, technically.
Because
the seats are covered currently.
Because of the government shutdown, but the people that run these centers are using the reserves to keep the seats open, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So for people that don't understand the bang for the buck that you get with early childhood education and also the economic impact with parents having a place not just to have their children watched but educated, just explain the societal benefits, if you can, about return on investment. If people want to forget doing the right thing for the right reason, if they strictly want to look at it as return on investment, explain that, if you will, Madeline, please, what the study show and the statistics prove.
Absolutely. So lots of studies show this. I would say one of the most clear ones is Nobel laureate and economist James Heckman finds that early child education has a 13% return on investment. And that's actually the only other highest point return on investment in a child's life is when they're in the womb. Mm. So, you know, early child education, if you can invest in children early, you are going to see a huge return on investment. It is a good source of our public dollars. We're setting up children really for success at life. And that is what the research shows. They do better in adulthood when they have high quality early education. So,
and the opposite, real quick, Madeline, the opposite of setting them up for success is?
Setting them up for failure.
Yep. I just wanted to get that point in. Thank you, Madeline. I appreciate your time. I really do.
Thank you.
And your efforts. Tell Dr. Sonia hello for us. Madeline Karst-Batson, Research Policy Director for Louisiana Policy Institute of Children. When we come back, we're going to talk about health care in this country with Walter Dublane. We'll spend an hour on it. There are no dumb questions, so you can start texting them if you like at 504-260-1870. Again, please don't ever text and drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.